funny when they talk. Can you think of anything else?
Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan, and this is a special bonus episode of Audio Face. You know, sometimes there are artists that are coming out that we want to highlight that are really cool. They do really cool things, and they push the boundaries of music and create some really cool sounds as they do it. And so we like to dig deeper into some of these artists, go into their musical background, their history, sort of understand, to peel back the curtain as to what these artists are, who they are, what they've become, and so you can understand a little bit more context of what these artists are like once the album comes out. These have been really fun episodes we've been doing, and this is going to be another fun one on the Australian electronic plunderphonics band, The Avalanches. They're going to be releasing new music soon, and so I wanted to make sure that we had some good information on it, and I wanted to think, okay, who do I know that is super smart about the Avalanches and indie music more broadly? And I brought in my friend Oliver. Oliver is one of my friends from college. He is a little bit of an indie musician himself. We'll talk about that later on in the podcast. But Oliver, thank you for doing the being a friend of Dan rite of passage and voluntarily deciding to show up on Hostage Cam to do the podcast with me. How are you doing?
Hey, Dan. I'm doing pretty good over here, as good as anyone can be right now.
That's a totally fair point.
Safe in my home.
That's been the response now. We've gone from the standard, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. Now to, how are you doing? Oh, given the circumstances, fine. No, but Oliver, thank you very much for joining me. Whenever there are new guests onto the podcast, I always start out by asking them what their musical history is. How did you come to be interested in music? Do you play any instruments? Do you just like certain artists? The floor is yours for that for a couple minutes if you want to talk.
Yeah, so when did I get into music? I think it was I found one of my dad's like Pink Floyd CDs. It was Dark Side of the Moon. Put that on in his car, had my brain like blasted out, and I was like hooked from then on. Learned guitar when I was maybe picked it up at like 12, and I've been playing guitar since then. I play guitar for my own band, Sunbear Hum. I just, you know, listen to a lot of indie music. Love Radiohead, love Animal Collective bands, and of course the Avalanches, who we're talking about today.
Yeah, you are one of those people who sits in my life as like the ayahuasca shaman for incredible, like mind-blowing music. Like I would always come into your room in college and you'd always be playing something. Sometimes it would be obscure shit, sometimes it'd be like semi-well-known, but still like really good. You had a really good speaker system, and it'd be stuff from, I think one of the first times we met, it was because you were playing some MF Doom stuff out of your room. Like we said, all the way to indie. So your music breadth and knowledge is incredible. I love that we're going to get to tap into that a little bit for our audience. I know the audience is going to love that as well. Why not? Let's just get right into things. So The Avalanches.
Sure.
The Avalanches are a Australian band. They formed in Melbourne in 1997. I guess if I'm going to try to genre place them, they are in the electronic music space. But it's so much falls apart after that, because I think the best thing about what the Avalanches do is that they sample music and sounds from different obscure records crossing all different parts of the world and all different genres. They sample those sounds and then overlay them on top of other sounds they've sampled to basically recreate music and recreate things that are like electronic dance tracks in construction. But there's anything from like 1940s commercials to like jazz bits to any of this other random stuff that's in there.
Yeah, I think one of the things about the Avalanches that I like a lot is that they kind of defy a lot of genre. It's really hard to like put them into one thing. Like indie is a really big genre where, I don't know, you could have anything from like Death Grips to, Whitney,
yeah.
Whatever, you know, right? Like big range of sound.
I'll also say that indie is having a bit of like a renaissance. We've talked about Audio Face this year and the past couple of years as mainstream alternative rock has sort of been all right, but a little bit iterative, definitely not like its peak in the early 2010s. Indie rock is really like, and indie everything else is really kind of having a moment right now. You have artists, one of the my favorites that Sean put me onto recently is one called Biba Doobie, who is this like,
I've heard of them.
She's really good. But anyways, yeah, the Avalanches sit in this really interesting place where they are kind of all of the music is their genre.
Yeah, and I think one thing that's cool, like you mentioned, about the Avalanches is how they kind of take bits and pieces of songs and they kind of mishmash them into something completely different, right? So, you know, one thing that I really appreciate about the Avalanches in particular is their production. And just like, in addition to just using samples, it's not just that, but it's just like how they layer them together, how they balance them. Everything's like really crisp, you know, it's that like Avalanches sound that I can expect, you know. And I really think that they've done a great job at refining that, especially on their more recent stuff that they've been releasing.
Yeah, I mean, it's because they really care about this. I was reading something about the production for Since I Left You, their first album, which we'll start to get into in a moment. And basically, to try to summarize this as quickly as possible, they had two separate recording equipment setups at each of their respective places for the two main artists who were like putting things together. And they were basically tuned to be about the same. So the same equipment, the same settings, more or less the same, so that they could send stuff back and forth to each other and work on things. And things still fell apart and there were timing issues and all that stuff. So to get the sound you're going for, it's a lot of like care and meticulousness into like making it sound good.
Yeah, and talking about that like indie renaissance that you were mentioning, I think a lot of what has improved since I Left You is the technology that musicians are using these days. Ableton, right, and other like digital workstations, right, have gotten so advanced to this point that I think not only does it help the production sound a lot better, which I've noticed on like across the board in indie, right? Like the production like level has just reached this very elevated.
Yeah, like, it's a pinnacle. It's no longer like rough phone recordings of like guitar shrifts. It's really good.
Yeah, and I mean, relevant to the times right now, a lot of it's now available straight from your home, right? I would hope so, right? In the middle of the Backstreet Boys reunion tour.
Oh man, let's get into Since I Left You. They're originally going to title the album Pablo's Cruise, right? And then that title basically made its way down to one of the transitionary songs. But Since I Left You was a debut album. It debuted under Modular Recordings in November of the year 2000 in Australia. And then it was doing pretty well in Australia, so they tried to make a larger album release worldwide. So that's in America and in the UK. They started with... Man, there's so many good songs in this album. I love talking about it. The best part of these episodes is listening to the music right beforehand to kind of like get yourself into a mindset of them. There were a couple singles that came on the album. You had Electricity. The one that really came and really blew up was, I think, Frontier Psychiatrist. But I want to talk about this album kind of track by track in a relatively quick way, but track by track how it plays through. It's like Since I Left You is the first song, and it's this sort of like... It gets you into the idea of the album. It's a little bit dancey. It has all these bits that are repeated versions from older recordings, and you can tell those things are sampled in. There's a little bit of imperfection that's almost purposeful with some of like the popping noises you get by just like tuning those things in. But all like kind of, it sets the tone for this nature. The original idea for this album was it was going to be a concept for like worldwide travelers in love. But that's really just sort of something they tried to fit into it so that they could make sense of an album that was literally a mishmash of all these different worldwide sounds.
Yeah. One thing that I really love about the opening track, of course, is the use of all the samples. So we have like a classical guitar sample from Tony Mottola's Anima y Cor. So that's like that little guitar riff that you hear at the beginning. And then we have the Dupree's "The Sky's the Limit" for the a cappella section, right, which is like the main hook of the song. Really nice. And then the vocals from the main attractions "Every Day." Since I left you, that part. So I think one thing that I really like about this track is that not only is it like a really fun kind of like, it's also got this like really like emotional aspect to it, right? Which kind of like underlies like the fun like dancing part of it, like, you know, it's got a little bit for everyone. I think that's what I really like about this track, other than the fact that it's just, it sounds really good, right, as you mentioned.
Yeah, it's
so many textures and
layers. The other excellent thing is that there is, you're really kind of pushing it to view and see this album as something that has any kind of broader mainstream success, right? Because like it's not like typical pop music. It's not that kind of turn of the millennium alternative rock. It's not that early 90s grunge that was kind of on its way out. It's a dance record. Dance records were kind of new. Even the idea that Daft Punk was kind of doing okay with their first album Homework was a little surprising. So it was very much like they didn't expect this album to be as much of a hit, as much of a critical success as it ultimately was. But that kind of song really gets you into it. And so you kind of continue with other songs that end up becoming hits in their own. Like there's Radio, there's Close to You. And these songs got a pretty decent airplay, especially abroad outside of the United States. And they still continue that dance track construction, but everything else kind of goes jazz samples, all these other things, but otherwise it's really cohesive. The thoughts and ideas of love that they have with it, you can kind of tell in there, but it's mostly meant to be just kind of an ephemeral experience. And this is definitely one of those albums that you'll want to listen to and just like play the first song, have it like shuffle the entire album and just let it play through. You don't want to like skip through songs. You don't want to like go around because there's meticulously crafted transitions at the ends and the beginnings of the song. There's like little motifs, like the little horse neighing from Frontier Psychiatrist shows up in a bunch of different songs in there and it brings the whole experience together. So it's a really good masterpiece of like an album being crafted that you don't see as often as I wish you would in these days.
Yeah, so one thing that I think is one thing that I share between the Avalanches and myself is that I think that they actually are influenced a lot by concept albums, Pink Floyd in particular. I say Pink Floyd because if you actually go page on Spotify or anywhere, all their recent like promotional material, they have all these like rainbow prism thingies that are definitely a callback. There's a few more connections that I can talk about later, I think, when we talk more about Wildflower. But definitely what you were saying about how their albums, one thing that I really like about them is that they all have this like flow, right? And each side of the record that you listen to is like a different movement. And, you know, it's just a very well-crafted experience from like start to finish, right? Something that a lot of, you know, albums that you're meant to listen to from front to back are, you know, the best ones do that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I love that you're talking about albums like a true connoisseur, like listen to it front to back, like actually flipping the damn record. Like I told you, I bring in the real one here on Audio Face. But let's get into the main attraction, which I think is the main attraction. So Frontier Psychiatrist sits kind of in the middle, kind of latter end of the record. Pablo's Cruz, like I said, the original would have been the name of the album, leads into it. And you feel like with Pablo's Cruz, you kind of feel like you are at the end of this sort of, I compare it, if we're going to go to the original concept album idea the Avalanches had of like a world traveler's love record, then you're kind of traveling, and up to this point in the album, you're traveling to all these different environments and experiencing like the dance scene, the love scene of these different worlds and experiences that the Avalanches are creating. At this point in Pablo's Cruz, the album is like I compare it to being on a yacht and the night is kind of wasting down. You have like one of your like last drinks of the night. You're starting to feel a little tipsy. And then like everything sort of gets dark around you and you realize that your ship is like, actually you're in the flat earth world and your ship is about to like fall off the edge of the planet. Because then you get into...
Yeah, Frontier Psychiatrist has that, so keep going.
No, absolutely. And Frontier Psychiatrist, all of a sudden you go into this like kind of ethereal, airy thing to the sound of horse hooves stomping and then all these trumpets, these recordings from like 1940s and 50s soap operas, even the music from them.
That boy needs therapy.
Psychosomatic.
That boy needs therapy.
Purely psychosomatic.
That boy needs therapy.
Lying down on the couch.
What does that mean?
You're a nut. You're crazy in the coconut.
What does that mean?
That boy needs therapy.
I'm gonna kill you.
That boy needs therapy.
Rannikazoo, let's have a chew. How about I count three?
That boy needs therapy.
He was white as a sheep.
And he also made false teeth.
It's even telling the story of someone who is like kind of gone insane. They're having trouble figuring out how to communicate with this person and how to integrate them into society. And it's all, again, it's all amazing because it's just using these sound bits and these sound clips that have taken from other different aspects of history, other recorded things, throw them in a mixer, make it work. It's incredible. And it's oddly complete considering how many different pieces in it. I think all told, this album has like 3,000 different things that needed to be sampled in it. Or cleared?
Yeah, I think so. If you go onto the Who Sampled for the Avalanches on this album, it's like a encyclopedia. You gotta like, there's at least like 10 songs for, you know, each track that they sampled from. Yeah, I really just love how, like, not only are they just using a lot of different samples, like, the way that they use them are, you know, really fun or just interesting in their own way. So, like, in particular, Frontier Psychiatrist, there's the part where he's making, like, a bird sing, and then someone's like, what else sings or something? And then he has, like, the record scratch playing. It's just, like, a fun, really cool moment, and it's probably my favorite part of the whole track, other than, you know, the fact that it's a banger.
it's so good. The first time I heard Frontier Psychiatrist was my introduction to the Avalanches, and it was just randomly played on one of my weirder, more obscure Pandora playlists. I think along with RJD2 and those kind of like dance music mixer type folks from the late 90s, early 2000s, like DJ Shadow, that kind of folks. And I hear Frontier Psychiatrist, I'm straight like, what the fuck? Like, wow, it's a wild song. It's really fun. I love the trumpets in it. Every time I randomly hear it, because it is an old song, we're talking about the year 2000, but every time I randomly hear it, I smile. It's just so great. I like to joke that the song Frontier Psychiatrist is the background music for everything that's happening in Joe Biden's head at all times.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good song for 2020 in general, I think. Just kind of the fact that we're just trapped in our homes and all that, you know.
Major facts for those of us lucky to be able to be.
Slowly losing our sanity or whatever.
Getting on to the last bits of it. You put a couple more songs down here that we can go into before we go to Wildflower. There's a song, Summer Cream, which is a little bit after Frontier Psychiatrist. Give us a spill on that.
Yeah, so Summer Crane is one of my favorite songs. It's got like a really cool French sample. I don't speak French, so I have no idea what they're saying. It sounds to me like they're counting. But just the production on this track is just so good. And this is what I talk about all the time when I talk about the Avalanches, is just that the way that they layer the production, right? And, you know, make it crisp and nice. It's really something that you can hear that that mattered to them in their early years and that they've just gone on to refine moving on to Wildflower and even what they're doing now. But yeah, Summer Crane, really good track. Just, it's like, not really a dance song in from what I hear. To me, it's more of like a winding down. We're reaching the end of the album. And I think that this is something that was like kind of that runs through the whole album, of like the whole, you know, emotional aspect of it, where I can like listen to these songs and, you know, kind of have like a drink in my hand and, you know, feel sorry for myself or whatever, right? But also it's really fun, you know, at the same time. And I think that it's teased in Since I Left You, and Summer Crane is more of like a kind of a, it feels emotionally optimistic to me, but at the same time still has that like melancholy feeling that sort of like runs through this whole record. And yeah, that's what I have to say about that.
Oh yeah. That's some of my favorite stuff in music, and Audio Face listeners will know that, is when you make a song that has the aura of happiness or like good energy, but you make the subtext, and you don't always make the subtext obvious, but you make the subtext kind of darker and hidden and have a message of, yeah, melancholy or sadness. I mean, like, we're talking Gorillaz here. That's just my wheelhouse. So I love it. And then you get to the end of the album with Extra Kings, which I think is a really nice way to end this project. And Oliver, that's another one you put down.
Yeah, so Extra Kings, just a way to end the track, or the whole album. It, like the rest, just the production on it is just excellent. And, you know, when you reach it, it's just got some really nice hooks on it. The, you know, the drums on it are amazing. But yeah, overall, I would say that, you know, this whole album as a whole, it's just an experience to listen to, like, the whole way through. The samples that they use on all of these tracks are just, like, it's just fun to kind of go through and see, like, how did they mishmash all this together and really kind of create this, such a distinct sound that I would really say, like, you know, you listen to it in some bands, you're just like, it has to be this band, right? Like, anytime I hear an Avalanche's track, I am like, yeah, it's got that like distinct sound that that's kind of representative of them, right? I don't want to put any bands on blast, but like, you know, you listen to some people and you're just like, ah, it's just another indie pop band or something, you know? But I think that a lot of the best groups have a sound that is very distinctly theirs, which is kind of like ironic considering how almost all of the tracks on here are like all the samples are plundered from other things, right?
Yeah. I love what you're going into there. Calling out artists who sound repetitive and aren't unique is bread and butter on Audio Face, and we love to do it. but yeah, what you're saying is there is, for an album that is made of a bunch of pieces that are taken from other projects, it's funny because the Avalanche's Since I Left You feels very real. It feels very tangible and non-artificial. It feels like a real product that was just kind of put there and put in your hands. And I want to, while we're going on to the tangent, because not all music allows you to be able to dig so deeply into what is being sampled, my favorite little bit coming out of all of the sample knowledge was the discovery of Pat Shanahan. Pat Shanahan is the reason the Avalanches can exist, because when you have that, when you have all of that music and you're trying to clear it with all the artists who own the sample, sometimes it's not even those artists, it's different publishers. Sometimes those publishers have gone out of business. So each chasing down just like one sample to clear in one album, which usually many mainstream albums have like 5 or 10 samples. They just happen here. This is an album entirely of samples, and Pat Shanahan was like, fucking bring them, let's go. She was like an absolute powerhouse. She's considered to be a sample clearing expert in music. She's worked with, among others, including the Avalanches on both of their albums. She's worked with the Beastie Boys, Janet Jackson, and Beck. Worked with Beck on Odelay. And yeah, she works with these artists, sits down with them, goes like, you'll have an easier time clearing this. That's going to be difficult. I would have loved to be on Fly for the on the Wall for the conversation of Pat Shanahan with the Avalanches on the next album and how they cleared that one song that samples the Beatles. Like, that must have been an amazing conversation. But yeah, all power to this woman who's like secretly keeping the Avalanches like as a project to existing and not sued into oblivion.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I mean, speaking of getting samples cleared, there are early mixes, right, of Since I Left You. One is called the Gimmicks mixtape. You can find it on YouTube, but even there, a lot of the songs are cut out from that, so you have to like download the mixtape from some sketchy media fire link or whatever.
Old right? school music, but, I love it.
But yeah, so the early mixes of Since I Left You have some really cool samples. In particular, I really like, I think it's, they changed the song Stay Another Season or Radio, and it has a Rolling Stone, or like a Rolling Stone by Bob Dylan, that sample on it. They tried to sample a Sgt. Pepper song, right? But of course that didn't clear. and of course the Like a Rolling Stone didn't clear either. So it's interesting though to go back and like listen to maybe how they kind of intended some of the songs to turn out. But the early mixes like are kind of missing some of the key tracks, right? Like Frontier Psychiatrist, the entire like back half of the album is not on the early mix. But it's a really good look at kind of like how the, I believe that they transitioned from, you know, doing live shows, live mixes, and turning that kind of experience into a record, you know?
Yeah, that's the other thing is they're live. I want to move forward to the next album, but they're live. I think they originally were going to like try to mix everything and do everything live, but there's so many moving parts and pieces that it was a disaster. So they just like went back to the drawing board and like found a system to where some of the bits were pre-recorded and some of the bits were performed live. And it's like a decent balance for sure. But let's move on to the second album, Wildflower, which came out a full, let's see, 16 years after Since I Left You. So there's a whole 15-year gap in the Avalanches. They just weren't that active. They were apparently working on things. Supposedly, Wildflower had been under wraps or under development since as early as 2004, 2005, 2006, that kind of era in time. But naturally, they wanted to get this second album to be the best follow-up to Since I Left You as possible, and it's tough shoes to fill because you're just doing a totally new thing. You nailed it pretty well. You beat a lot of expectations internationally. And so the next thing is got to come out somehow or something. And that became Wildflower. It was released on July 1st, 2016. It is 22 songs, an hour and 4 minutes long. Or 21 songs, technically, if you don't count the extended mix of Frankie Sinatra. But it is... I'll ask you these questions, Oliver, and then you can kind of explain the album. But compared to Since I Left You, what was improved in the project? What was built on top of, broadly speaking? And then what are there any aspects of this where Wildflower do you think fell short or that Since I Left You did a better job in?
Yeah, so Wildflower still continues like the same trend that Since I Left You had with, you know, using a lot of samples, building off of these, and to kind of create like, well, this time I wouldn't say it's as much of a dance album, right, as the previous one. And that's so that's one thing about Wildflower. It's a little bit of a different genre, I feel. To me, it's more of like psychedelic dance, if that's even a thing. And there's element, like there's rap songs on here too. Like I said, it's hard to pin them down to a single genre, right? So it's like they're indie.
Yeah, it's the catch-all for the weird shit. It's indie.
Yeah. So yeah, it's stylistically similar, but I think that what Wildflower really succeeds in doing is kind of creating its own like sonic world that like I listen to it, I'm just like, yeah, this sounds like Wildflower. Like not even just the Avalanches, it just sounds like this album. You know what I mean? And one thing that I think I mentioned before was that the production on this album, I think, has really shows the evolution that they've probably for 16 years, you know. I think that, I mean, I'm not really sure why it took 16 years. It's hard to speculate, but one thing I can say is that making music is hard, especially when you put in as much effort into making it sound like so good as the Avalanches do. You know, they just have all these really cool moments of production, even more so than in Since I Left You, where they're experimenting with like panning or like bringing in mixing these samples together in a way that it just sounds like it all just goes together, right? I feel that Wildflower to me is the more cohesive album. I feel like when I listen to it, it really succeeds in that like concept album feel. That said, I still think that Since I Left You, a lot of people will say that it's the better album. I think it's weird to say one's better than the other because I think that they both have a lot to offer, you know, by themselves. I think that one thing you could say is that Since I Left You, the album, has more standout tracks individually, in my opinion. Frontier Psychiatrist, the title track on that one. But I think that Wildflower really has this, like, you know, if you listen to it from the front to the back, right, it's really got this, like, journey that it takes you on. There are a lot of these, like, three-track movements where they're kind of, like, together. All the songs are together, I mean, and they kind of flow from one into the next. It's hard to figure out when one is starting and one's ending, right? So I get a lot of these tracks, like, mixed up because I'll be like, oh, yeah, because that's just, like, the start of this song, right? But they're separate, you know?
Ah, that's one thing that makes it harder to for listening to music when you're doing it analog as opposed to on a phone. Checkmate. No. But hell yeah, you're that's a lot about what I agreed with personally on how I thought the album is. I feel like Since I Left You is the best distillation of what the Avalanches are, and Wildflower is not trying to be Since I Left You too, which is a great thing, I give it credit for. Mm-hmm. But it is trying to give you the same brand of experience that Since I Left You was, where like you jump into the album, you start it, and it is a complete experience that is well produced, that plays through from beginning to end, and it really takes that idea of a concept album all the way to its extent, and just puts you in a world. It puts you in a new world where you are able to think of yourself through the lenses of the Avalanches and all of their assorted musical guests that find their way through this album. Let's start with, and one of these songs you picked was Because I'm Me. With that, like, kind of brings you into the thing. I think it's really distinctive with that, like, boy kind of singing a little bit off key, but that, like, little tune in the beginning, that's like a really fun way to properly start the album, because The Leaves Were Falling is like a interlude intro. It's like 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I like to think of Because I'm Me as sort of a callback to Since I Left You. There's a lot of similarities in the way that they're using sort of like older samples to create like a really like fun, upbeat, positive song, right? Come back, baby. Come back, shellac, black, baby. Or come back, flat, black, pink on the ship. I think the thing that I like most about Because I'm Me is just like the message it's sending, right? Just like be proud of, you know, yourself, right? And of course, it just sounds amazing. It's one of my, I think it might be my favorite track on the whole thing. They're just starting it off. They seem to have a, you know, thing for, you know, opening their albums with a bang, right?
As you should. I think the Avalanches are, they put on a clinic with how to make an album good. And basically everything about what makes Avalanche's albums good are just things that make albums good. They play through completely, mm-hmm. They start well, they get you really into it. They don't let go of that feeling or take you out of the experience too much as you're going through the rest of the album. And the album at no point does it ever feel like it's dragging on. It's giving you something new at every turn. It's not too wild outside of itself, but it feels like a cohesive experience. Because I'm Me is really beautiful. Frankie Sinatra was funny. It was one of those things where the band didn't even want it to be the lead song that was happening. That was going to be the lead single from it, but the people around the band were like, yeah, this is probably the top song on there. This should be the lead single. They made a music video of it that was ridiculous, completely ridiculous. Like, it's like an apocalyptic clown show in the middle of nowhere where there's like these invaders and there's probably an acid trip somewhere along going on in there.
What did they say? Frankie, my boy, you don't know. You have a perfect voice to sing calypso.
I'm so high, you're so high. If I take another step, then I test my die. Take another step, then I test my life. Tell her what she wanna hear just to get between them thighs. Underground, make up a top of a world. Suck the bitch for oysters on my tongue on the pearl. So fuck what you say, do this shit my way. Like Frank Sinatra, bitch, did this shit my way.
You get appearances from Danny Brown. You get appearances from MF Doom. It is a circus. It is like truly one of the wilder, like, carnival core, I'll call it carnival core type songs since like Gorilla's Sweepstakes. It's just a complete like chaotic mess, but it's really beautiful. And I think it's a spiritual successor, as we're talking about them, to Frontier Psychiatrist. And if you think of it like a success to Frontier Psychiatrist, you're kind of selling Frankie Sinatra's short. Because I think it's a really properly good song. And if you try to compare them to each other, you end up thinking that like Frankie Sinatra doesn't live up to Frontier Psychiatrist. But I don't think it's supposed to. It's a similar comparison, but they're fundamentally different songs. And separately, they are pretty dope. I mean, it's a lot to take in. And again, it's indie. They're pushing the boundaries of music. But Frankie Sinatra is just so hella fun. I love it.
Yeah, I love that track too. But, you know, one thing about it was that when it first came out, I remember I was like, this doesn't sound like the first album, right? And like you said, I think that that's selling it a bit short. One thing about Wildflower is just that I liked was how much it grew on me as a whole as I kept listening to it. And kind of just appreciating it for what it is, right? It's similar to their first album, but I think that it does something, you know, that's unique to itself, right? And Frankie Sinatra, really fun track. Like I said, I didn't really like it at first because it didn't seem like similar enough, but it really grew on me, especially after I saw it live. It was just, you know, really fun. People were dancing, having a great time. And it's really one of those, like, you know, everyone have a party kind of songs.
Yeah. That leads into Subways, which is also definitely a vibe. I dig that song. And then you kind of go into a few others with that and you get If I Was a Folk Star. Fun fact about this song, the lyrics were written by Toro y Moi describing an acid trip he had with his wife in their like honeymoon, which I think is just like a hilarious story and very classic Toro y Moi as well.
Yeah, he's from Berkeley,
yeah,
right?
He's Mr. Berkeley because the old mayor, or maybe the current mayor at this point, actually presented him with keys to the city and like made an honorary Chaz Bundick day, I want to say. Berkeley's nice. A fucking wild city. I love it.
Yeah, that track is really good, and I think it really shows the kind of the shift in genres that the album goes through. Right, so you start off with Because I'm Me, which is sort of like an oldies track, right? Dance track. Then you get into Frankie Sinatra, which is just like, let's get all the indie rappers right together into one thing. And then we lead into If I Was a Folk Star, which I don't know. It sounds like it could be on a completely different band's like page, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it does have that unique kind of it's a thing where it doesn't, this is the part in the separation we had earlier where there are certain things that don't feel, it doesn't always feel like an Avalanche's album or an Avalanche's project, which you're kind of saying it doesn't feel like Since I Left You, because that's the only thing we have to kind of go off of before this. But it manages to have this really good sound on its own. Like, it sounds like it fits on its own as its own song, and it sounds like it fits well within the album, but it's more than what you would expect from the Avalanches. And I think with a traditional band, you would want them to adapt and evolve their sound album to album. And in a way, this is them doing that. But with the Avalanches, of course, it's weird because they don't have a quote-unquote sound, a defined sound. It's whatever they can plunder.
Yeah, and I mean, another thing that I think we're starting to see start in Wildflower and continue to now is that Wildflower has a lot more collaborations than Since I Left You, right? Direct collaborations, where they're actually getting artists that they appreciate to perform on their tracks, right? And so that's one thing that starts in Wildflower, and we're starting to see it more with, you know, music that they've been announcing recently. And in particular, the two tracks that you mentioned feature tons of, cameos from all these other artists.
Yeah, it's super exciting to see what they're coming up to and going forward with. But as we're going to go into this and continue, you also like the song Sunshine, right?
Yeah, so Sunshine is probably, I don't know, it's hard to say. I go between this and Because I'm Me. And at first, I really thought that this was like a very kind of simple track. It's very repetitive, but it's only repetitive in like the lyrics, right? And I think when you listen to it again over time, there's a lot of subtle things that are being done to the production. I really appreciate how the song kind of starts upbeat and then he like fades out the drum track, and then you only hear like this kind of like melancholy piano riff going on, and then he phases back in the drums, right? And it kind of goes back and forth between, like I mentioned before, like this feeling of like I'm dancing but I'm also kind of sad feel, right? It's more emotional of a track than I thought it would be. And one thing that I really appreciate is if you take a look at the sample that he's using, I believe it's sampled from a, and that song is the lyrics of that are talking about some sort of, it's a story between like two lovers and something like, I think, goes wrong between them, right? It's been a while since I looked this up, but like that layer of like, you know, the song, the lyrics are kind of about like, you know, lost love and all this. And then the sample itself is also related to that theme. And I just think that it kind of just shows how the way that they use samples is like next level above a lot of other artists, I think.
Oh yeah, they're
Big Brain, Galaxy Brain, 10,000, you know.
they're some of the best, and it makes you, it's great when you have like a best in some kind of category, because then all you want to do is just see where that artist kind of takes it from there. And so ultimately it seemed like the album Wildflower was, it landed, it was a success. Like, it wasn't the like critical, oh, it's outselling Drake kind of deal, but like it was never going to be. It's really just like, distilling the art and the performance of music down to its most raw, its most critical, its most what people are really desiring to see and get out of from the Avalanches, and now what we've kind of come to accustom and kind of get used to. Since then, the Avalanches, that was 2016, the Avalanches have been relatively quiet, but it's looking like it's not going to be us doing Audio Face 619 12 years from now talking about their next album, because we've gotten a sprinkling of singles coming out, I think about four this year from the Avalanches. There's We Will Always Love You with Blood Orange. There's Running Red Lights with Rivers Cuomo and Pink Sifu. And then there's Wherever You Go with Jamie XX, Nina Cherry, and Calypso. And then Reflecting Light with Sandra Maitreya and Vashuti Bunyan. So you're getting a lot of things different here. On Audio Face, we try to be really careful with speculating on albums. We usually talk about one or two new singles max, and then we wait for the album to come out so we can experience it as a full project before like making our judgment. There's no better band to make that an example of than the Avalanches, which I think we've talked about here. But I did hear Wherever You Go with Jamie XX, with Nina Cherry, two staples in alternative and indie, and boy, it was a hell of a song. It was definitely really good. It was definitely kind of their upbeat kind of thing. That line where it feels like they're plundering is thinner and thinner and thinner than ever. I honestly can listen to it and believe that they just like did the damn instruments themselves. And if they decide to make that leap, that would be kind of rad because they can compose music very well. But I believe because this is the Avalanches that they mixed and plundered different things in it, which again shows like another technological leap and people's ability to do this. But what have you thought about some of the more recent singles that have come out so far?
I've listened to a couple of these more than the others. So I really love Jamie XX. And I agree that this track is awesome. It's got a really nice, like, you know, bass line going out, going throughout. The production on it, once again, I really think that they're just excellent at, you know, balancing everything perfectly, you know what I mean? The one thing about these new tracks I think that you might notice is that there's a lot more collaborations, right? Which is a trend that we noticed kind of starting with Wildflower, and it seems that they're, you know, running with it, so to speak. I really like Reflecting Light as well. I love the sample from the vocal sample of Vashti Bunyan, who has featured on another of my favorite band's albums. So she actually provided vocals for one of Animal Collective's EPs, Prospect Hummer, which is how I actually originally found out about her. And then dove really deep into, you know, her work, which is very ahead of her time, I feel like. If you check it out, it sounds like it could have come out like last year. But Vashti Bunyan, really awesome vocalist, so I really love that track.
In my midnight hour, yeah, I stand in this reflecting light while I fight, bathing in reflecting light.
And one track that I didn't expect I would like too much was Running Red Lights, because, I mean, okay, I actually will say that Weezer is one of my guilty pleasures, their first two albums.
Did not know this about you, Oliver.
Not their
latest. Absolutely not,
stuff,
yeah.
Blue album bangs, and I'll fight anyone about that. So I wasn't expecting Running Red Lights to be, for me to like it as much as I did, but one thing that I really like about it is the intro, which I know we don't speculate about the rest of the album, but one thing that I think you can tell is that I sort of feel like this track is transitioning from something else when I listen to just the single that's up on Spotify. And I just know that when I'm listening to that actual album and I hear it transition into this song, I'm going to be super hype. And of course, the song has kind of a simple hook, but, you know, I'm here for it. I like
it. Yeah, I'll take it. This is, I don't know if you've heard the band Disclosure, but they have an album coming out soon, at the time of recording this at least. And at the time I'm recording this, I haven't heard the album yet, but they released so much of the album already. Like, I think it's around 11 or 12 songs, and six of them are already out, that a lot of the imagination for the album is sort of gone for me. I haven't heard all the songs yet, but I've heard most of them, and a lot of the imagination of the album is kind of gone for me. So even hearing as little of the Avalanche's singles that I've heard already, I know that they're gonna weave those songs in, like you said, into some really dope transitions that'll hopefully lead into even cooler songs or different asides. Or one of my favorite things to experience during music is when an artist puts like a little interlude in for 20 seconds and it sounds really fire, and they skip to something else, and I'm like, god damn it, no, you're supposed to turn that it's illegal for you to switch it up on me. You got to turn that into a full beat. Like, come on, you got to do it. But I am definitely looking forward to seeing how the rest of the Avalanche's project kind of comes together in this third album. It's been a long time coming for sure, and they've been at it for a long time. And it does look like they are both have the credentials and have the interest to branch out and get to a bunch of new different indie artists. So if we can even see even more indie artists kind of lending their voices and their talents to an Avalanche's record, that's going to be fucking amazing. But yeah. Thank you very much for joining us for this, Oliver. This has been super fun to have and discuss with. We will, of course, have the Avalanches be reviewed on a regular standard Audio Face episode very soon. But before we left, I did want to talk about a different segment of music with Oliver specifically. We have not yet had an actual like musician who is like publishing music and doing all of that stuff come on to Audio Face as an interview. These are things I want to do more often. But Oliver does some of those things. He's in an indie group called Sun Bear Hum. And I was wondering, I think it would be really nice if you kind of told us for the audience, like, peel back behind the curtain. When do you start from like deciding you want to do and publish music and start kind of start on that route to like the music appears on streaming platforms? Like, what is that point A to point B process kind of like?
Yeah, so Sun Bear Hum is pretty much a duo project between me and one of my really good friends, James Newton. So me and James, we met going to an Animal Collective concert. We met, it was the Sung Tongs, like, you know, tour that they were doing, like the re-tour that they were doing a few years ago when they came down to Oakland here. So we met there. We met before the concert because I think I reached out to him because I was like looking for people to hang out with online, and met this guy who just moved here from Florida. He came over to my place, and before we went to the concert, he noticed like all my music stuff in my place, right? And he was like, "Oh, you play music?" I was like, "Yeah." So he was like, "We should jam sometime." And I was like, "Okay, yeah, we should do that." And so we did. And I think one thing that, you know, fit really well was that we both had a really similar taste in music. We were, you know, going to an Animal Collective concert, so it was obviously, that's one of our big influences, but also just a lot of overlap in other places. And so when we jammed, there was a really cohesive, you know, element to it that I think, you know, sometimes you jam with people and it's just like, they're trained in a different type of music or their preferences just don't line up.
Yeah.
Right. But it just like kind of fit together really well. And so nice. It was sounding really good to me when I was playing it. I'm just like, dude, we should record this. We shouldn't just be playing it into the air. You know what I mean?
Yes. For posterity. Like,
yeah, it actually does sound really good. So we recorded our, a lot of our like early jams, and our songwriting process has kind of been here and there. We've been experimenting a lot with it, you know, going with like structured routes, trying like to do more live stuff, right? But it really started as mostly just us, you know, jamming together and realizing, hey, you know, we both really like music and probably want to start, you know, turning that into a real thing at some point, right? And so at some point we decided, okay, we have enough like live material here that we could potentially, you know, put together a few tracks. So we, you know, set out to do an album. Like I said before, it's actually a lot harder than it looks, which we found out because we were like, I don't know, 6 months in and had finished like one song and were like, okay, that took a lot longer than I thought it would.
Yeah, there's the magic of the jam session, and then there's like the reality of like editing and mixing and tweaking a project. Like, I'm not speaking from any knowledge as a musician, but as a video editor, I definitely got passionate and interested in like video production and all this stuff. And never did I realize why I'd be like sweating my ass off, like trying to figure out how this like broadcast system works. And then because like one sound setting is off, the entire recording is borked. Like, that there's.
Yeah, having your audio moved over just a little bit. Like.
Brutality.
Yeah.
So then you're like getting your music onto platforms. You said there's DistroKid. It's just like one of those like software suites that's out there that helps artists kind of get their music up onto places. And yeah, once you record, it's just like shoots up and then it's out there to stream. Do you find that experience? I mean, like, obviously everyone knows about like the experience of streaming at a musician and that like it sucks, it doesn't really pay out that much. But are you getting good information about like the analytics, if you ever look at that, like the kind of people who are listening to the music, or at least any sort of interaction yet with an audience? I know it's still like very new and you're still like branching out and like building all that stuff, but at least how is that in your head? How are you thinking about that right now, if you are, when you're like building your band forward?
Yeah, so we started and we released our like EP, which is up on Spotify. And we basically just, you know, put the EP together from home, and then uploaded it to DistroKid, you know, filled out all the forms that were online, and it kind of just went up in like a week, which was kind of cool. They've really like streamlined the process of like getting your music out there, right? Of course, I think the harder part of that is getting people to actually getting it visible, right? Like, it's hard to figure that out, especially for us. We kind of released it, and then, you know, the Backstreet Boys reunion tour, you know, the coronavirus happened, and we kind of got messed up on that, right? So I think that every musician's probably having a period now where it's like, I've been focusing a lot on, you know, what I like can do personally, like solo, individually, like to improve, right? I feel like trying to get the publicity right now is sort of a lost cause, right? Normally I would think, you know, play some shows somewhere, but I don't want to be responsible for anyone dying, right?
Low-key, so, don't want to make anyone die. Now, I will say this, there's definitely, it is, can't be understated enough, and we've talked about this on several episodes of Audio Face, how it's very difficult for artists right now to help build their brands and build themselves up as musicians, because the number one way you do that is by touring. And if you can't tour, if you can't go out and meet fans, you can't go out and have those experiences and start to, or even like, yeah, build up your audience and build those like connections, then it's much harder on the cesspool of the internet where you're fighting with like the news of the day, whoever, whatever is making the news of the day, whatever social, whatever musician is using the shock factor and the freak factor to like grab attention to their music, because that's a big thing too. It's just artists who will just like be raunchy and be ridiculous so they get attention for their music. That's one way to do it. But for folks who are doing it like the standard way, just trying to build an audience, build really useful tight bonds with folks, that's a lot harder to do right now. But that being said, there are new sort of innovations that are happening along this realm. You have people who are experimenting with like there's those Instagram live concerts, which have different levels of success because the sound quality is usually garbage, but there are people doing recording sessions from home. There have been a string of really good, especially in the indie category, there have been a string of really good albums that have been produced in quarantine that, yeah, maybe mm-hmm. they're a little bit more lo-fi technically, but the separation between the technology that you've really got now at this point is so little that you can do a lot of studio quality things if you know what you're doing on mm-hmm. just a laptop. So I think it's a good renaissance for, maybe if it's not a renaissance for the standard way of building an audience, it's a really mm-hmm. good time to own in on your craft, get really creative, experiment with things, like to use the time you have when you're kind of in solitude waiting for things to pick back up, to experiment, figure out what you really want to do, make the mistakes now so that when things are back up on track, you have a better clear path of what to do. So it's all about, I think, what artists are doing with their time right now and how they're making the most of it for their own particular project.
Yeah, a lot of artists have been producing stuff, like you mentioned, from home recently. Wanted to shout out a couple. I think that the Microphones just released a 40-minute song or something on YouTube. He like premiered it on YouTube Live, and it's pretty dope. I would check that out if you're interested in any coronavirus-related music.
Oh, yes.
It's not related to coronavirus, but came from the isolation, right? I think a lot of indie artists have been doing, like, sessions from home on, like, KEXP, which, you know, I love that channel. And, you know, they have a lot of good artists, and a lot of people have been, like, performing from home. I think I saw... Who did I see doing something? I think Local Natives just performed, did a performance for them. Yeah. And it is interesting how everything's working right now. I've been seeing a lot of musicians up on Twitch recently. One thing that me and my bandmate have been trying to do is figuring out a way to, like, collaborate live through the computer, which maybe would work if we had, like, an ambient enough track, right? And we didn't really care about how much the timing synced up. But, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say whether or not the technology's at that point where we can satisfactorily sync everything, you know?
Bro, the technology is barely up to the point where we can satisfactorily synchronize video. Like, if this podcast gets completed and finished, it'll be a minor miracle because it'll be the first time I've done it. But... like, I can't imagine with music where you have latency and a difference between streaming, a difference between timing where you do something in front of your computer, in front of your webcam, and it happens about a mm-hmm. second and a half later on the other person's webcam. And a second and a half is way too much time when you're doing music. So, bless them to y'all for figuring it out, but people are making it work. And even if you do it Avalanche style, where you set up the exact same setup in your home and just send tracks back and forth, I mean, like, it can be done. There are ways. They did it without the internet, you know? So there's that.
Yeah, it's true. They sent it by pigeon to one another.
I just imagine, like, a carrier pigeon with, like, an 8-track tape with the tape just whistling out.
Don't drop this.
Pay you good money, pigeon. No, Oliver, this has been an absolute blast. Thank you so much for coming on to Audio Face and really kind of opening our listeners' perspectives to what it's like as a musician starting out right now, especially what it's like during COVID, but also about the Avalanches, probably one of the coolest bands in indie in the game doing it right now. Their next album should be coming out soon. Do you know the name of the next album off the top of your head?
I don't think it's been announced what the next... I don't think it's been announced what the next one is yet, so we'll see.
Yeah, I think you're right. There's still, like, something to happen, but and mm-hmm. as with many things, it probably might have been delayed a little bit because of COVID and artists figuring out their schedules. But if you can't already tell, I'm recording this far in advance, and I'll release it when it makes mm-hmm. sense, listeners. So that's why I'm kind of couching things there. But whenever the Avalanches' third album manifests itself so that it can be reviewed, it will be reviewed on Audio Face. So make sure you're subscribed to Audio Face wherever you're listening, if that's an Apple Podcast or Spotify. Make sure you're following us or subscribe to us in whatever podcast app you use. Or if that's on YouTube at youtube.audioface.show, make sure you're subscribed to us. Make sure you check out Oliver and Some Bear Hum. All of these, like, links and all of this different stuff will be in the podcast description or the video description of this thing. And yeah, thank you very much, Oliver, for joining me. This has been super fun. We should do this more often.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Yeah, maybe when the next Animal Collective album's dropping, you can have me talk about
them.
Oh,
hell yes, we will. I mean, we talked back a little bit with the EP, and I've also got to keep it real, I guess, while I can. Oliver is a source of information for a lot of, like, the new indie music that comes up on the podcast. So if I've ever mentioned, like, oh, my indie plug said this thing, it's actually about Oliver, so this is, you're actually getting to see the face here. I love your musical knowledge and talents, and you're one of my best friends. So again, thank you very much for doing this. And
thanks for having me, man.
Of course. Yeah. And thank you for watching. We'll talk to you in the next episode. Cheers. How much of the new stuff have you been clued into? Because, like, if I gave you music recommendations, I would just be reading off of, like, what music has come out in the past couple of weeks, because Audioface is screwed with my, like, music listening schedule, in that a lot of the times when I am listening to music, I'm only listening to the top three new albums that have come out, and then everything else is, like, I kind of lose it because I can only listen to so much. But
so, like, yeah, how I normally do it is I just go through my release radar and I, like, kind of pick out stuff that looks cool to me, right? Mostly in the ones that I tend to like more, the genres, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It takes me a while sometimes to find something that I like, that I'm, like, turned on to. But it's been pretty good so far. I also comb through, like, Indie Heads Reddit to find a lot of new things. And there's, like, a few bands that I've been, like, following that I saw live, like, one time. And then I'm, like, that I keep an eye on them, right?
Yeah.
I think that, so I might have recommended this band before, but Winter, it's like Samira Winter. She is, like, pretty much the head of the band. And she, like, produces, like, or she's produced three albums so far, but I found her original album because she was playing at, like, a closing show for Animal Collective. And her first album is really good. Like, it's sort of, like, you can tell that it's kind of bedroom, like, put together, right? But it's just, like, really, it's actually really good, despite that. And her latest album, now that she's been in, like, a real studio, it seems, and, like, she's having it produced by, like, an actual producer, it's super good. Like,
yeah,
all the sounds are, like, very well tuned, everything, like, the production is just so much better, and songwriting is still really good too.
That's good,
which was, like, what I thought was, you know, that's originally what turned me on, is just, like, the songs in general are just good, but the production wasn't quite there on the first one.
Yeah, I recently heard the latest Naked and Famous album, which is, like, their original stuff was kind of bedroom poppy in a way. And so, like, I have a little bit of a taste for that. Their latest album was a bit whatever for me, but I'll definitely give Winter a go. So I have
their new album came out, like, last week. It's called Endless Space Between You and I. It's pretty good.
Oh, that's so indie.
Or I don't think it was last week. It might have been 2 weeks ago. I don't know. Like I said, time is all
time is whatever.
Wibbly wobbly right now.